instructed the grief-stricken Arjuna, who really did not know what to do. He had an, as we would say today, an existential dilemma. He did not know who he was. He did not know what he should do. He felt totally isolated. And as they say in London, he checked in with Krishna. So he got instructions from Krishna that are meant to relieve not only Arjuna's miseries, but the miseries of all people throughout the universe. That's why the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita are transcultural. They are not only meant for one culture. They are transtemporal, means they are not only meant for one time. The time 5,000 and something years ago. And Krishna's instructions are also, you could say, they are relevant at all times for all cultures. So I thought to focus a little bit on Krishna's instruction and look at them from a particularly, let us say, intriguing perspective, at least to my mind, intriguing perspective. I will request you to tolerate my German language with a little English accent. You will have to just navigate yourself through the sounds of someone who tries to speak your language. I would like to open the program with a little kirtan. I'm sorry, we were stuck in what is called the London jungle. It means a complicated meshes of lanes and cars and so on. Good. Now what do we need? A pair of cards we need. And maybe someone can just give me a Bhagavad Gita. I will require it a little later. Thank you. Jaya Radha. Sorry. This I need. Yeah. Thank you. Which tonality, please?
Gopi jana valla va iri garada adi. Gopi jana valla va giri varada re. Yasoda nandana rajajana ranjana. Yasoda nandana rajajana ranjana.
There's someone playing an instrument out of rhythm. Please put it down, and when we are very fast, you can join us. No. Yes, thank you. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Namo Rama Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Hare
One more time, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Prabhupadat Prabhupadat Sila Prabhupadat Jaya Gauranitaye 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 Jaya Gauranitaye Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jagannath Jaya Baladeva Jaya Subhadra Jaya Radha Londonishvara Radha Londonishvara Radhe Jaya Radha Londonishvara Radha Londonishvara Radha London Ishvara Radhe Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol Hare Krishna Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Namo Bhagavate Hare Krishna, I want to greet everyone and thank you for kindly coming this evening. I would like to praise this day, the Gita Jayanti, with telling a little bit about the glories of the Bhagavad Gita and its significance for us today. We hear in the Bhagavatam that after Krishna's disappearance, Arjuna was distraught and very, very miserable. He had also encountered something which was inconceivable to him. On his way to Hastinapur, he, the great warrior who had been able to conquer the greatest Maharathis in single combat, no? He had become attacked and overwhelmed by some, how do you call them, brijades, or, you know, these people who are waiting for you when you go on the road, and then they come, these ordinary robbers. He, the inconceivably powerful Arjuna, had been defeated by them. He was very miserable. He felt this was because Krishna had left him. Krishna had left planet Earth, and therefore he felt his inconceivable powers as a warrior had been taken. Krishna had taken these powers away from him. He really felt desperate. And he says, in this time, when I did not know any, had no clue how I would continue my life, I turned to the indestructible instructions of Govinda. I turned actually to the Bhagavad Gita and got a new light on my way. This verse has been quoted by Vaishnavas throughout the centuries, that when you lose your way, when you do not really know how to move on, when you are overcome by uncertainties, at that time, turning to the Bhagavad Gita is the appropriate thing to do. Have you ever done this? I remember being under surgery and being very desperate, and then looking for the Bhagavad Gita and the instructions of the Gita. And every time when I was young, when I had to go to the dentist, I first read the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. I preferred it to anesthesia, because it is said in the Gita, in the Bhagavatam, all kinds of miseries go when you turn to the Bhagavad Gita and read it attentively. So, yes, you do know in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna wanted Arjuna to do something which Arjuna despised. Krishna had chosen Arjuna to take the leading role in his mission of removing the influence of the impious people from the earth. Arjuna was, so to say, his scalpel, the surgeon's knife to do that. But when Arjuna asked Krishna at the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra to drive his chariot in between the armies, and when Arjuna had seen
who was confronting him in this ghastly warfare, he felt numbed. It were his own relatives, it was his teacher, it were, was people he had grown up with and had had come to love and respect in some cases. And Krishna now had requested him to engage in warfare against them. So Arjuna drove with the chariot over the battlefield of Kurukshetra. I mean, Krishna drove him, and they came to a place where a little bird lived. He was living on the ground, and this bird flew in between the horses and said, "I can't believe it. The great Arjuna, the prince of the Kuru dynasty, wants to engage in warfare? War is for the brutish people, not for those of higher intelligence." And then the bird turned directly to Krishna. "And I can't believe it. The all-powerful Vasudev, who's present everywhere, and who's the friend of all living beings, is inciting his friend Arjuna to use his weapon against family? I just can't believe it." So Krishna had smiled. And he had looked to Arjuna and with a glance told him, "You speak to the bird." Arjuna started to say, "Well, this is a Dharma Yudha, and you must understand it is a special way." And as he talked, he felt more and more insecure. Even the bird knew to wage war is not good. So then Krishna began to speak. He said, "Little bird, I know it is difficult for you. It is difficult for everyone. But it needs to be done." "Oh," said the bird, "but there's a problem. I've just started to build a home. I'm a bird. I'm a ground-breeding bird. Here is my nest. See? It's on the ground. And you will come with your chariots and with your weapons and... My nest, it took so much attention to build this. It will be destroyed." Krishna said, "I got you. Don't worry. Arjuna?" "Yes, my lord." Krishna noticed Arjuna had become doubtful. "Yes. Arjuna, you take care of the bird." And he... So Arjuna drew his bow. It was not yet the beginning of the war. No conch shell announcing the military aggression had been sounded. The generals were busy to build their deadly formations for the upcoming confrontation. But Arjuna shot his arrow totally. The arrow, plung, went against one of the bells in the which was around the neck of one of the war elephants, and plang, the bell flew and came in such a way to the ground that it built a protective dome around the little bird's nest. So it was a bomb shelter, you know, proof, and so on. Yes. So then Arjuna turned to Krishna and said, "My lord, my heart is overcome with grief. I cannot see any good that can come from this a war which you are asking me to do. I am, what is the verse? I want to read it to you. I'm sorry, my notes don't say it, but you have to hear this. Oh yeah, he said, I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsmen in this battle. I'm now unable to stand here any longer. I'm forgetting myself, and my mind is reeling. I see only causes of misfortune. O Krishna, O Govinda, O maintainer of all living entities, I'm not prepared to fight with them, even in exchange for the three words. And then he had this absolute nervous breakdown. I think you remember. It's a really heart rendering. He was Arjuna, having thus spoken on the battlefield, cast aside his bow, pang, and arrows, pang pang, and sat down on the chariot, his mind overwhelmed with unspeakable grief. My dear devotees, let us look at this psychologically. When the small self, means the living entity, goes about his life, there comes the great self, Paramatma, who asks him something to do, And at that time we are confronted with the Lord, and it is sometimes difficult because we have to accept that we are not the master in our own home. The Lord asks us to do something that is totally out of style at times. At that time, two centers in our personality begin to fight with each other. The lower self, which wants comfort and sense pleasures, and the higher self, which understands I'm a part of Krishna and I will be only happy if I surrender to Krishna. Do you know of this conflict? Some of you are still figuring out what they are hearing. I know it's different than what you normally hear, but so please excuse me. And I know my language is very difficult to understand. Please try to now everyone's mind engage with this. Don't you sometimes come into a situation in your life where you are asked to do something that is outside of your capability and you actually want to avoid this? You want to repress it, you don't want to look at it, you don't want to talk about it, you don't want to see it because it's too painful. It's a little collision, an inside collision. I know this when I was a young devotee, and I had to give up my favorable coat, which I was known by. I was known by my coat as Merlin the Wizard in Hamburg. And the devotee said, "Here's your dhoti." Oh, no longer Merlin the Wizard. My false ego rebelled. I thought, okay, I keep this black robe and underneath I have the dhoti. It doesn't fit, said the devotees. Second time they said, when it came time to shave up the hair, oh, ooh. But even worse, when the devotees told me, come and dance on the street with us. Oh. This I never even considered doing such a thing.
But it came even worse. Every morning, if we want you to get up at 3:30 and take a cold shower. I know it is scary and that the sound is coming at the proper time. And my small self, we call it Aham, and its little world of Mameti was confronted with the bigger world where Krishna wanted something from me. And I knew, I felt it in my heart, but I was not ready. We find such a confrontation in the Christian literature very much. There was, when the first Christians came into existence, they were a minority group, and they were pursued by the Roman Romans who occupied the country. There was one particular Roman, he led a legion, his name was Zaulus, and he got the order to go with his a contingent of the army to Damascus and bring all the Christians on the marketplace and cut their throat in public eyes. So he came on his way to Damascus. He had an experience. It was in the desert, and all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed. He looked at his soldiers. It was a different atmosphere. He became a little fearful, and then Jesus appeared before him in a majestic form, and he said, Zaulus, by pursuing my people, you are pursuing me. And Zaulus, by killing my people, you're directly attacking me. Zaulus, do you want to fight with me? Zaulus looked at this majestic form of Jesus and was totally, how do you say, trembled. And he said, who are you? And the form said, time I am. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'm of the Lord. I'm of the Lord. I'm coming from him only. And then Zaulus could understand that God had come into his life by sending his son, and he could understand that he could not go on as Zaulus any longer. His small self, meaning a Roman soldier who was sent to slaughter the early Christians, was confronted by a will that was higher, by the big self. The messenger of God had come to stop him. And he paid his obeisances. He cried. He surrendered. And he came from Zaulus to... No Christians here? Zaulus changed from Zaulus to... Prabhu, you read literature, no? To Paulus, exactly. From Zaulus to Paulus. It is a famous expression for transformation, no? It's transformation helps, happens, my dear devotees, when you are confronting a higher power and his will and you surrender to him. We are reminded of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and I will turn to Buddha Bhavana in case I say it wrong. Tell me, when one is asked to do something which is beyond one's capabilities, but one still acts without hesitation, at that time divine empowerment takes place. No? This is what was happening to Arjuna. Arjuna was asked to do something which he did not want to do, which he couldn't do. We hear he had a
nervous breakdown on the battlefield. You can't fight when you have a nervous breakdown, in case you didn't know. Then at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he said, "My Lord, Akarishye, I will do what you have asked me." This could be the story of you, your friend, even your neighbor and me, that we are coming in contact with the Lord, like Arjuna came in contact with him, or like, what was his name? Zaulus, you know everything. Zaulus came in contact, and we are asked to surrender, and it will be hard. Krishna described to Arjuna various paths, the path of karma, jnana, and yoga. Oh, beautiful. Oh, let us all feast our eyes on the deities. Thank you, Mataji. You are the true friend of all beings by opening the curtain. Let us look at a moment at the smiling Lord, the Supreme Master of London, London Ishvara. He might have something for you in mind that you are afraid of to do. He might want you to do something, and he will not let you in peace until you do it. This is always happening. It didn't just happen on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It happens in life. So this is the encounter, no? And the first, let us say, reaction of Arjuna after he had heard about the path of karma, jnana, and yoga, in a way, Krishna explained it, that they all lead to him. When he had heard about this, he didn't say, "Okay, I'm ready to follow you, my Lord." It was a very difficult encounter, my dear devotees. He rebelled against Krishna. "Oh, Krishna, in your mind, the path of wisdom and contemplation is higher than the path of action. Then why, tell me, why do you urge me to fight in this terrible war? I'm totally confused. It, as we say in English, it does not make sense." So Krishna sighs. He knows. We rebel when the small self, the aham, and our little story is asked to surrender to the Supreme Lord. And he slowly begins to explain that indeed there are two paths. For those who are inclined towards contemplation and meditation, they should meditate. But for those who are inclined towards action, I think that's maybe 95% of my audience today, they should learn to act for Krishna in such a way that whatever they is the fruit of their action, they should give it to Krishna. You know, like, think of it like watering a tree, and the tree has 100 mangoes at harvesting time. When is mangoes harvesting time in Bengal, Anjana? Was it spring or don't? It's not so clear at the moment. Mango harvesting time? May, around May. You get all these beautiful mangoes. So when you follow the path of karma yoga, not of karma, you take 50 mangoes for yourself and 50 mangoes you give to God. But if you follow the path of Naishkamya Kamya yoga, then you give 99.5 mango to God and only half a mango for you. So it's increasingly you offer more. On the path of your jnana, you do understand I'm actually not the body, I'm a soul, and you begin to renounce material activities and engage in understanding the futility of material existence. On the path of yoga, you actually meditate and go into the heart and see the Lord of the heart, Paramatma, and so on. So Krishna explains all this. Then he starts to describe himself. He says, actually he says, I'm the source of everything. Aham Savasya Prabhavaha. Wow, you have can make your Bhakti Shastri. I'm the source of everything. He goes to the heart of the Gita. He says, Arjuna, there is no existence higher than me. He says, everything rests on me, Arjuna, like pearls that are resting on a string. Know me as the seed of all existence. Know that I am past, present, and future, and I know all, but no one knows me. These are mighty statements. No? I am the source of everything. I know past, present, and future, but no one knows me. So Arjuna might think, oh, these are very, very strong statements, my Lord. And he might, in his mind, feel, could I just have a little proof, you know, that you are so mighty. And Krishna, as if reading his mind, then performs a miracle. He shows the stunned Arjuna how everything is really resting in him. The skies, the planets, time itself, all that is from the past, that is now, and what happens in the future. He is showing that everything is in him. So he shows, you know, when I asked you to surrender to me and do my work, it's best for you. I am the Lord, please see. So Arjuna is still a little bit bewildered. He asks a question, my Lord, this is overwhelming me. Can you just tell me who you are? And then Krishna shows him that form of him that everyone, even the atheist, bows down to. Do you know what form that is? Time. Who said time? I thank you for saving us. I am time. Time really is acknowledged by everyone as the supreme force in this world. It is, according to the Bhagavatam, the impersonal representation of the Lord. You know, when I was young, I had so much energy, I would be able to jump 5 steps at a time. I would be in 2 jumps in the temple here, in the Soho Street. I had so much energy, I would sometimes not sleep for 3 days because I was just so enthusiastic. But now time has come and shown me that my strength begins to wane. I start to have embarrassing gaps in my memory. I can't remember someone's name who I used to know very well. Yes, and I see everyone bows to time. Even the mighty boxer, Muhammad Ali, at the end he said, look at me, I'm wasted by time. Maybe I said too often, I'm the greatest, and now the Lord has shown me that I'm the smallest. No, that everyone bows down to time. Civilizations succumb to time. Mighty kings and successful boxers succumb to time. Your hairstyle succumbs to time. You will be balding. Yes, even if you do everything to keep yourself in an attractive shape in the hair, you will be balding, becoming bald. The influence of time is uncompromisingly powerful. So Krishna shows Arjuna, who asks him, "Who are you?" One aspect in his universal form where Arjuna can see the future, which is held by the Lord in his hand. He sees the outcome of the battle of Kurukshetra. Yes. So, my dear devotees, my dear friends, this is a little bit what the Bhagavad Gita is about. It convinces us to surrender to Krishna. We are either forced to surrender by bowing down to his representative time, or we are able to voluntarily surrender. And then Krishna comes to the most confidential point of the teachings of the Gita. And I want to talk about this a little bit, because I feel it could be a takeaway for all of you. But before I do this, I wanted to sing a little bit with you as to prepare the consciousness for this most confidential teaching. Do you feel that is an appropriate idea?
Yes.
Good. I would like to request everyone in the room to think a little bit about what you have just heard. Krishna wanting something of us, and we who are a little unsure whether or not we should do this. Could you maybe think what could be your next step in your Krishna consciousness, and a step where you perform on a higher level? And can you maybe identify your trepidation, your hesitation, and then pray to the Lord for strength that you can actually move forward and surrender to him? Is the task clear? Only for three. I will repeat it again. So we all, these are not my theological things which are explained in the scripture. This is something very existential that happens to all of us. We are asked to move to the next step in our spiritual life, but we hesitate. We feel there's a blockage inside, and sometimes unexplainable breaks, and we can't move forward. So for that, we may need some strength. So we will pray now. Please, my Lord, accept me in your service. Is the task clear? Oh, good. Hare Krishna. I have the feeling it's a little bit higher on a December night. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Please excuse me. Have you already identified where you wish to go, your next level? And have you prayed? It's very good if you do this in the Sangha of devotees on Gita Jayanti, because I'm sure Krishna will listen to you. So let us again try to prayerfully chant his holy names. Please, let us start now.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, oh Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Oh, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna, Krishna patiently, with great love and understanding for his devotee Arjuna, led him through the various paths to him, and he convinced him in the 11th chapter that Krishna, in fact, is the Almighty Lord, and that to surrender to him would be in the best interest of Arjuna. But Krishna had more confidential thoughts in his mind. He gave him the very powerful way how to conduct himself in Krishna consciousness in this world. It's a beautiful verse. It's a key verse. And I request you to chant with me the Sanskrit. Manmana bhava mat bhakto. Manmana majajimang namaskuru. Mame vaisyasi satyam te.
Mame vaisyasi satyam te.
pati jane piyo si me.
He gave Arjuna four loving instructions. And anyone who follows these instructions will be prepared in a gentle way to give up acting on the platform of false ego, but to joyfully act on the platform of Krishna consciousness. He said, always think of me, Arjuna. When you think of someone always, day and night, then it's easy to surrender to them. And Krishna says, my second instruction, become my devotee, engage your body in my service. No? Then the third instruction is, worship me. And the fourth is, offer your homage unto me. My dear devotees, these four activities are almost like entering into a lift. When you enter into a lift in a high building here in London, it will carry you swoop effortlessly up. If you have to climb the staircase, at least those of us who are obese, they would pant, and even those over 30, they would pant if they have to go 5 stories, no? But if you go into the lift, everyone can do it. So these four instructions are for everyone. If you forget, if you want to take something away from this class, please make a note on your mobile telephone, 18th chapter, text 65. Huh? Read this. These are four loving instructions of Lord Krishna. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. Don't worry a bit, Arjuna. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Now I ask you, how will you practically think of Krishna always? I think we have devotees who are there for, who are with us since 2 years. How will you do this? I think we have devotees with us who are there for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. How far are you when you are thinking of Krishna always? I think when we hear this instruction is, some of you think of COVID always, I notice. Some of you think of, I need a husband always. I can see about 5 people here in the room think of this always. Using my psychic abilities, no. Should I be more direct and embarrass a few of you? No, no need, no need. No, 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 it's a bargain. We are in a temple, why do this? We have saintly talk in our mind. My dear devotees, we think of so many things always, but not of Krishna always. How can we do this? Because I really feel from this, thinking of Krishna, we will start making new decisions in our life. And when we make new decisions, we will take more, go to different activities in our lives. When we do different activities, we will have different emotional involvement with the world. And we will have various different experiences. But everything starts here in the mind. So to think of Krishna always, I found something very inspiring that helps me and that helps you, which Krishna said. In the 9th chapter of the Gita, he gives us a hint. It's in the 14th chapter. Those of you who know can chant along with me, Krishna's word. This is a little
Hi, Vinita. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavrata namasyantas chamang bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Here we find what devotees do that are a little stable in their spiritual lives. And if we watch them, we will learn from them how to think of Krishna. It is said, if you want to know about God, go to the classroom where the lovers of God assemble. So if you want to know about Krishna, go to the devotees. This is what Krishna says. They are always chanting my glories. They are endeavoring with great turtle-like determination. Sorry, that was an analogy we heard in the Haveli, but let me say the original text. So they are always chanting my glories, and they are endeavoring with great determination. They bow down before me, Hare Krishna. And in this way, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So this really parallels Krishna's verse, this confidential instruction, Manmana Bhava Bhakto. How do they think of Krishna? They chant his glories. How do they become devotees? Well, they endeavor with great determination. Then the last two things are they bow down before him and they worship him, which is very analogous. But I find these two, always chanting the glories and endeavoring with great determination, paralleling, or let us say explaining how to think of Krishna and how to become his devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught also kirtaniya sadahari, always do the kirtan, always sing with Krishna. Think about it for a moment. You can think of Krishna by going before the deity and looking at his form. But for that you need a temple. To sing, you can do everywhere. Almost everywhere. Yeah. Somewhere you have to sing a little bit softly. Everywhere. When I was flying here and I had to wait a little long in Germany at the security, I started to sing involuntarily. So finally a well-dressed businessman looked around who's singing and he saw me and he thought, yes, good idea. Let's sing more. I said, yes, but not just anything. Best is to sing something that really uplifts and the consciousness and purifies the heart so that you can have deeper insights. Wow, he said, what do we do? How do we? Yeah, listen to this here. And then I said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I became so enthusiastic, I was a little bit too loud because the security guys were becoming irritated. But I said, sorry, but this is so good, you know, it has to be sung and repeated again and again. The businessman was very happy. He said, I will sing, but please let me. I will choose what I sing. I'm Google this Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, and then I might sing also. Lord Chaitanya gave, followed the hint which Krishna gave. If you want to think of Krishna always, start your kirtan in all seriousness. It's so simple. You do not need the temple to do this. Other ways to think of Krishna is maybe to organize a big yajna and pronounce the different 108 names of Krishna and do a yajna. But But for that you need a lot of paraphernalia. You can just do the Sangatan Yajna, just sing and so on. Or follow Krishna's instruction. He said, Yajnanam Japo Yajyosmi. Of all Yajnas, I am what? The chanting. Yes, you know everything. The chanting of the holy names. So this is, I think, a very practical application of Krishna's loving message in the Bhagavad Gita, which culminates in always think of me, endeavor to become my devotee, bow down and worship me. This is very practical, because from kirtan, especially if you can do it always, I don't know if you knew, but this singing is not meant to be only done in the temple. Did you know this? It's not that you can, it's not like a gym where you can only do the exercise when you have the machines. No, it is meant to be done independently from any external arrangement. It is meant to be done always, so that finally you come to what is called ajapa japa, that is, that the holy name is resounding in you without you making a conscious effort to use the vocal cords and so on. That happens when we go to kirtan events. Have you made this experience? You go to a kirtan event and you just sing for 4 hours, and you don't listen to your mind which says, let's go and eat something. No, you stay and you sing. And then when you go to bed, the holy name reverberates in you. Have you made this experience? This is the desired effect. This is good. This is normal. This should happen. This is natural, because let us not forget, this is something for always, you know, always sing, always do. Good. This is how you think of Krishna, and then it's easy for you to do his work. Yeah, but what is with the bird? Do you remember the bird? Some of you have forgotten, so I repeat again. Yes, we are in a temple. People suffer from overdoses of lectures. So I will say it briefly again. At the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, there was this bird who doubted the use of warfare. And then Arjuna convinced him and saved him by providing the bell from an elephant. He just with his arrow brought it there, and it protected the battlefield. So at the end of the battle, Krishna says to Arjuna, what's about the bird? Arjuna said, yes, I forgot about him. Okay, so come with me, said Krishna. And he brought Arjuna over the battlefield. There in the middle of all this, let us use the right word, carnage, no? There was this metal bell, and Krishna told Arjuna, lift the bell, it's over now. And Arjuna lifted the bell, and there was this bird with his family members. They all looked up. I don't know if they folded their wings. I don't think so, but maybe they did. And this bird, mother bird, said to Krishna, thank you, my Lord. You are truly Bhagavan. You have protected even a little bird. This, my dear devotees, is also the end of our little Gita Jayanti lecture. By surrendering to Krishna, by accepting him as our maintainer, even when we are afraid to do the next steps in the direction of surrender, but just by doing it, Krishna will make an arrangement that is just perfect for each single one of us, which considers our delicate personal situations, our doubting and trembling mind, which is not yet able to surrender our small life to the Lord. He will know how whatever we need, and maybe for some of us it may be a bell which we need to be protected. But I think that bell will be a wake-up bell, which is connected with a wake-up call, some experience, in other words, that will convince us to go our next step, even though we may hesitate. Thank you very much. Let me secretly look at the wristwatch without anyone noticing it. Hare Krishna. I'm not sure if this is... It's 20 to 8? Something like that? Yeah. I would suggest we look now out if there are some questions from which you might like to ask. Some well-considered questions or some question which came on the spur of a moment. What do you think? Yes, Sri Balad, I'm seeing you. I saw you just... you were there all the time? No problem. Please.
Thank you so much for that wonderful class and that explanation. Those verses, very practical tips for applying the manmana with Satatam Kirtiyam.
Yes.
And I love that idea of the mantra chanting, like when you immerse yourself in the mantra, then the mantra starts to reverberate in your consciousness. Can you... You gave a Sanskrit term for that? Ajapa-japa.
Yeah. And it's the also you can say anahata shabda, the sound which is not struck. Anahata. Yes.
Can you just say a little bit more about that? Because it's such a wonderful, practical tip that you gave us to reach manmana even in our conditioned state.
Yeah. Because you are Sri Prahlad and a very thoughtful devotee, please, my audience, allow me to address Sri Prahlad on his level of thought. Sri Prahlad, I have seen in my life that there are, you know, when we say we are conditioned, what does this mean on a level which we really can grasp and which we deal with it? I believe by now these are strong, let us say, sanskaras which are inside of us. Or if we carry this idea a little bit further, they are, we have built by constantly acting in a certain way, certain neuropathways that are connected, because neurons that fire together, I learned, are wiring together. It means our brain has an inner structure so that any thought impulse will go a certain path. You can see this when you act with people who are not so conscious. You can say something and you can know how they will respond. Almost like you can throw a stick and you know the dog will run and pick it up. So humans are also a little bit like this. In fact, we are like this. Let's stay with us and so on. So you really need to create something totally new within you. Certain pathways, or let us go back to the safe territory of our philosophy, sanskaras. You need to have deep, deep, deep impressions that are, I would say, alternative expression to the old things. Otherwise, we will always remain the same, and we just practice Krishna consciousness as a belief system in which we have faith, but when we are tested, we will fail embarrassingly, even on the first counts, you know. So you need to, and what better and easier way to create that new thing that new you by kirtan, because the sound vibration has a formative influence. Therefore, even Platon in his Republic says, if you want to educate children, use a lot of music, because it creates certain sankskaras. This is how in India you are taught the Sanskrit verses. You just chant it repeatedly, and bang, then it's ingrained in your brain, and you can repeat it. And how did it come there? You didn't, in a way, memorize it very. No. You emblazoned it in your brain and so on. So kirtan does that. It creates really a new me. Now I will give a sensational story, because then it's easy to understand. When we did in Mauritius our kirtan mela, at the end of the kirtan mela, there came a man to me. I had watched him and I had been afraid, and I thought, hopefully he doesn't want to come to me, because I smell trouble from this man. So, but somehow he came, and he had a disturbing thing in his pocket. You know, there was a bulging thing here in the side. And I started to always stare at it. And he said, yes, it's a gun. Pulled it out. It was a pistol. And it is loaded. What do you want to do with it? I said. I want to throw it away. I came here. I was on the way to the beach where I was going to shoot myself, because I had such a painful divorce behind me. But then I heard you singing in the tent, all of you. So I sat at the end of the tent and listened to the kirtan. I came the second day and the third day, and now I don't want to shoot myself any longer. In fact, I will go to that disappointing woman and I will say, can we make up? We don't need to, we can cancel our relationship, but let us not go in such a part ways, in such a traumatic way. It's not good for both of us. So thank you, he said. And then he put the gun in. I went, oh, good. And he went away from the tent. A new man. Something new had happened. I would say, in kirtan, there is one rule. It's the same rule which Krishna gives in the fourth chapter. Yeyatamang papadyante tamstataiva vajamyam. In the degree you can surrender to singing, in that degree Krishna reveals himself. When you come to a kirtan event, I would like to encourage you to really come with a clear intention. I'm now sitting with the devotees, I'm singing with the devotees for so and so long. You can give yourself a certain time, reserve the time, tell maybe your friends, I'm fasting from my mobile telephone traffic, engagement or however you call it, one message. And so I'm at the kirtan, join me on online link so and so, and then you just give yourself and immerse yourself, and whenever you start thinking old thoughts, you know, my God, my neurons are working. Or if you don't want to go there, you can say my old sanskaras. I don't want to be in there. I don't want to get stuck in there. I want to be in something new, in a new space. Turn to Krishna, for instance. Start praying to Krishna. Meditate about the meaning of the mantra. Anything, but start new thoughts. Because only then you will start a new life. Hare Krishna. Thank you. It's always such a pleasure to see you, Sri Prahlad. Do you all know Sri Prahlad?
Yes.
Yeah. Is this Sri Prahlad?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They thank you very much. They say happiness is the best anti-aging formula. Remain happy. good. So, yes. What is your good name, please?
My name is Rakshan. Yeah, I would like to ask.
Yes.
And the chanting of the Maha Mantra, what is it ultimately? When we pray to Krishna, where is the limitation what we should ask materially? How much supposed to be value? Or not it's prohibited to ask because it's bhakti of material. Since I want to know with this H.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
What is it? Yeah. Thank you very much for asking this very important question. See, there are very obviously various gradations, if you so want, or levels in bhakti yoga. There is the highest level, which is to be totally detached from the concept of I am, and my desires and all. But that's a very high level, and I think the rule in bhakti yoga is start somewhere and start where you are and be also honest with yourself. Don't try to be a pure devotee, suppress all the things that are really going on in you and then try to be someone who you are not. There is some discussion about this. Is bhakti yoga, is it still bhakti yoga when you have material desires? And there are very liberal perspectives on this, which say yes. Even when you are full of desires, start serving Krishna, start bhakti yoga, and after some time they will go. There's even a discussion, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he's a great, great teacher, he says, what if a devotee comes into a situation, let us say, an accident, a situation where he needs help, and he will call out, Krishna, save me. Has he now left the path of bhakti because he has a desire? Not the desire to only serve Krishna, but a desire which is self-referential. He has a desire about himself. And the Acharya says, no, it is natural that in a difficult situation, a devotee will ask such a thing, save my life, and so on. So I would say, even if you have this strong desire, I must get a car to go to the temple, if it is so strong, you say to the Lord, "My Lord, I know it's not the purest desire because it's a little mixed. I also want to have the car for myself, you know. If I'm really honest with you, I can't just hide that I'm attached to cars. So I will go to the temple when I get a car." And then the Lord might give you a car, but if he doesn't give you the car, take the metro and come anyways to the temple and do your service. Metro is what is it called? Underground? The underground, yes. So do bhakti on the level which you are capable to do. And if it's still mixed with material desires, no problem. The main thing is you turn to Krishna. And as you turn to Krishna, you will see, you will become more and more filled with so much good things, so much contentment, so much love in your heart, that after some time you think, "Oh, why should I ask the Lord for these small material things if I can ask him for the higher things like love and ecstasy and like this." thank you. And if he doesn't give you a car, take the metro and come anyways. Haribo. Good. So, anything else? Bhavesh, you are very thoughtful always. Yeah, right. The normal course of thinking of Krishna is you read about him and then remember. By the way, there's a very, very good way that helps you to remember what you have read. When it's still fresh, or when you can somehow still remember it, tell it to someone else. And once it's out, you've spoken it to someone, you will see it's somehow more ingrained in the memory. It is somehow more there. But there's a second way which I wanted to talk. It is, you know, when the mind is pure, Bhavesh, it thinks of Krishna. When the mind is pure, it wants Krishna. When the mind is pure, it has total different mental functions than when it's impure. So therefore, when you chant Krishna's holy name, the mind is pure and whoop, it always runs to Krishna. When you don't chant so much, or you are not chanting absorbed, or your chanting is covered with aparats, then the mind is not so purified and then it can't think of Krishna. You know, an entity like the mind will think of the things according to its constitution. When the mind is in this way constituted, it will go to things which are this way. No? Krishna. That is also the rule for those who want to stay brahmacharis or celibate monks. They have to see that the mind is purified or remains pure, and then it's easy to remember Krishna. But when the mind is tainted, then the mind will run to things which are like that mind, the same quality, no? And like this, Krishna. Good. So today, Gita Jayanti. I remember I celebrated Gita Jayanti in Punjabi Bagh once, and Miss India came. Yes, there is something like a Miss India, I learned. And she was so interested in Krishna consciousness, and she bought 1,000 Bhagavad Gitas and distributed them to I do not know people who came to this I really don't know what they do, the Mr. India or Mrs. India, but they are known somehow, and they distribute the literature. I would request you, most of you, I think, have Bhagavad Gitas at their homes, that in the evening, before you go to bed, please take your Bhagavad Gita and read a few verses. I very much recommend the 15th chapter of the Gita, always, for it's short, it's 21 verses, I believe, and Krishna takes us through really some very powerful essential teachings within them. So please let us honor the Bhagavad Gita today by reading it. Krishna spoke after all these words to elevate us and help us to move forward. Good. So, Mora Dayal Goranga. Mora Goranga. What should we do now? A little kirtan to conclude. Yeah. Was it pleasing to your heart?
It was, but it'd be so much more pleasing to hear the whole thing.
Good. So let us chant a little to conclude this program. Can I again put the question to you that is there something which you feel in your life that Krishna wants of you, that you are maybe not yet, that you have not yet been able to offer to Krishna? Huh? I'm sure if we ask this question, something will come to our mind. It's something like the next step, the next level. Is there something? And if there is, please ask Krishna for some mercy and for, let us say, for helping you in to move forward. Hare So let us all sit a little bit straight. Let us somehow collect our various thoughts, our emotions, our everything, and address Krishna in this last kirtan for this beautiful evening. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna.
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Hare Rama, Flowers and bring the flowers to Mathura. I imagine he must have sprinkled them with water so that they kept a little longer, and covered them with a cloth. And then, yes, during that time, you often saw Krishna Balaram from the distance. It was very, very much attracted to them. We thought it would be so nice if Krishna Balaram would come to me. But I'm a resident of Mathura and don't feel confident to just go up to them and give them my garlands here in Vrindavan, because he has so many loving devotees in Vrindavan. So like this, he always went to collect flowers and brought them to Mathura. And he also thought himself very unworthy because he was serving the king. Do you remember his name, the king Mathura? Yes, Kamsan, yes. So he felt very insignificant. So one day he was in Mathura and he did his regular daily practice. He would sit down, he would close his eyes, he would breathe, and he would meditate on Lord Krishna. So one day, in his meditation, he somehow saw something that convinced him Krishna is right now in Mathura. It was after Krishna had left Vrindavan and gone to Mathura to start the second part of his mission on earth. First was to be with his loving devotees and exchange loving relationships, and by this attract all the conditioned souls into himself. But the second was to remove the burden of planet Earth. So Krishna had just come to Mathura to do that, and he was aware there is this florist, and his name is Sudam. Sudam, he reminds me of one of my best friends in the Dharma. I must go and visit him. So as Sudam was, the florist was meditating about him, Krishna made the decision to come to his house. It was a simple dwelling, not like these mansions which some of you have here in London. It was a very simple, very, very humble dwelling. And as he entered, Sudam noticed my Lord is there. Can you imagine how he noticed it? After all, his eyes were closed in meditation. How did he notice it? It's a good question, no? Yes, one of you said it. He could smell the enchanting fragrance that emanated from Krishna's transcendental body. It's a mixture of the smell of lotus flowers and aguru and musk also. As we say in London, a twist of camphor, you know. Very refreshing. He opened his eyes and there was Krishna with this overwhelming beauty. Sudama was immediately, what do you think in your heart when you see God? It's a good question also, no? How can I serve you? This is the natural response of the heart. So he was a florist. He just looked, oh yeah, and he found some garlands and he gave one for Krishna and Balaram. And then something happened that is so special, that Jiva Goswami tells us he worships Sudama the florist because of this. Krishna looked with his playful glance towards a garland that was half finished. It was an extremely beautiful garland. It was not yet ready. And way he looked toward Sudha, the Lord wanted that garland. Yes, that garland was good, but now he wanted that special garland. Sudha was so happy. He was happy because the Lord told him what he wanted. And now he could worship the Lord on this. He could fulfill a desire of the Lord. Krishna didn't even speak. Sudama immediately took some people to get together, some assistants, and they made this beautiful, beautiful garland. I think you and me can't imagine how beautiful it was. He was a trained florist. It was this is also very beautiful, but let us not underestimate the garlands of Sudama. So he then lovingly brought the garland to Krishna. And then Krishna said, I'm very pleased, please ask for blessing. And Sudama then asked for three things. He said, my Lord, I want that my love for you increases. And let me have relationships with your devotees. And also, one last thing, let me have friendly relationships to all living beings. I want to, no problems, but friendly relationships. And Krishna granted all of this. And on top of it, Krishna granted health and wealth also. So I like to share this with you because it makes this point which we looked at during the lecture, that Krishna wants something from us, and we may sometimes feel a little hesitant. Like here in this case, Krishna wanted the best garland, and it was not yet finished. I imagine it was meant for the king, because everyone in Mathura was somehow in his service and doing the things in the service. But it's not, I don't know this, I'm just saying, I'm imagining and so on. So Krishna wanted that for himself, and Sudama granted him. So there is something which Krishna, I'm sure, wants from everyone, and you know it, you have heard it, when you are a little bit serious, which you are, I think, 24 hours a day, you know what that is. Why not try to make steps so that you can have a gift to Krishna? That is something which I would like you to take with you from this Gita Jayanti, because that's the subject of the Gita. Krishna wants Arjuna to surrender, and Arjuna in the beginning is hesitant, because that is always happening when the small self meets the big self. It ends always in a defeat of the small self, in a surrender. Good. I wish you. And what else would I requested you to do this evening? Yeah, before you go to bed, a few verses. Why not? It is Gita Jayanti. So I will say good evening here. Thank you very much. In English we say, let's call it a day. I'm learning from Guru Krishna. Yes, please. And our devotee, we are so proud of you, Prabhu, that you have taken this service.
His Holiness Satchinanda Maharaj.